Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and you're listening to Daily in the Word. The Christian life is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Knowing Him, hearing His voice, sharing Him with others, and seeking to please Him becomes our consuming focus. Having Jesus by our side will truly make the difference. If you find yourself in need of spiritual direction, then I encourage you to stay with us for today's message.
Letting God take the wheel of your life can often seem difficult, especially when life is tough and you're not sure where the road may lead. But if you choose to trust Him, you'll find the peace, contentment, and love that only Jesus Christ can offer. That is why we are in a series entitled Highway 1. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series will challenge you to give God your all, to put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of your life, and to take your hands off the steering wheel. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Tuning Up for Friendships.
A friend loveth at all times. America, the great materialistic land of conditional love. But God says, no, I want you to love consistently. I want you to stay there together, building one another through edification. Secondly, I believe the Bible teaches that we should build confidence through encouragement. Through encouragement. You say, well, this is very basic. And I find oftentimes in relationships and friendships, it's the basic things that get us started, and then we forget these basic things. And the Bible says in verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Notice this phrase, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, would you read that last portion with me, please, of verse 29, ready, begin. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, God says, I want you to minister grace to your friend. I heard of a fellow that dialed what he thought was a friend. He got the wrong number. And when he called the wrong number, there was a recording. And the recording simply said, I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you are one of the changes. and that'd be an interesting message to get. And sometimes there are people that they kind of change in their loyalty, in their friendship, and in their consistency. But God says, I don't want you to be like the wind changing. I want you to encourage one another and that you may minister grace to the hearer. So a couple thoughts here. First, friends. A friend is a minister. A friend is a minister. Now, the word minister means to serve. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to give Himself a ransom for many. How many of you thank God that Jesus Christ came, laid aside, not His deity, but laid aside the prerogatives of His deity and voluntarily died on an old rugged cross for our sin? Okay. Jesus came to serve and to meet the needs that we as a fallen human race had. And God says, I want you to be a minister of grace. I want you to minister. Sometimes people come to church and they say, well, look up on the platform at the ministers. And let me tell you the philosophy at Lancaster Baptist Church, very simply stated, every member is a minister. God has provided pastoral staff to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but all of us are to be ministers. And in the friendship and marital relationship, we are all ministers. And then not only are friends to be ministers, but we are as friends to be gracious. We are to minister grace. We are to be ministering grace one to another. And again, sometimes the world can be brutal and worldly friendships can be brutal. I read about Coach Pepper Rogers, who coached UCLA back in the 1970s, and they had a particular year where they had a losing season. Everybody was mad at him. Everybody hated him. And at a press conference, he was saying to the reporter, he said, well, he said, I do have one good friend. He said, my best friend, he said, is my dog. And he went home that night and he was talking to his wife and he said, I sure appreciate you, sweetheart. And he said, you know, every man needs two best friends. And so she went out and bought him another dog. And every once in a while, someone that you thought really loved you can let you know where you're standing with them. But God's word says, I want you to be gracious to your friend. Grace is showing favor and love to someone who doesn't always deserve it. And if you're the kind of wife who's going to be gracious to your husband when he deserves it, he may not see it very often, or the kind of husband the same way. Grace is not based on merit. It's all, as we're going to see in a moment, based on Jesus Christ and his love for us. You see, real friends are those who, when you've made a fool of yourself, don't feel like you've done a permanent job of it. And they're standing by you and being gracious toward you. Proverbs 25:11 describes this grace giving. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. If I could just say, many of us may not ever understand this side of eternity how a small word of encouragement will keep someone going in the path of righteousness. Don't underestimate the power of a gracious word. It might be a wife to a husband. It might be that your husband has pressure and difficulty that you don't realize, and you just simply say something as simple as, I really appreciate your commitment to our family. Or to your wife, I really appreciate your love and your care in this home. Or to a friend, I just appreciate the fact that you would take an interest even to be in church today. I love the quote from William Ward in the notes this morning. Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you. God wants us to be an encouraging friend. And certainly in the context of the local New Testament church, we come into this place today, having many of you traveled all over America this week, all over Southern California, all kinds of circumstances in the Antelope Valley. Lots of difficulty can be experienced in the course of a 7-day period. And I'll tell you, when you come into this place, when you come into the Sunday school class, hey, the big thing today is not who's playing the Super Bowl. The big thing today is that we're on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here to encourage one another to keep on keeping on. Now, that's what confidence building is all about. We're here to build one another up. And so we base this relationship on character. We build this relationship with confidence. And I want you to see quickly that we are bound with compassion. Now, as you start to build your relationship, as you start to build your marriage, the devil's going to be taking a sledgehammer trying to tear it down every step of the way. It's just that way. He's trying to pull loose the strings that you're trying to bind with. He's doing all he can. The Bible says a threefold cord cannot be broken, and the devil's pulling and pulling, trying to unwind that cord all he can. So how can we bind together this marriage and this friendship? How can we strengthen this in a biblical pattern? Notice now in verse number 32 what the Bible says. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that we can bind our relationship through tenderness one toward another. Through tenderness one toward another. Look at, the best relationships are not the ones where you intimidate somebody into doing what you want done. The best relationships are not the ones where everyone's scared to death, so they better act friendly with you. The best relationships are those where, through tenderness of heart, there's an understanding. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And again, not everyone understands that fully. Not everyone expresses that fully. But that's the will of God, that there would be a tender compassion in the home. I heard about a 6-year-old girl named Molly who complained to her mommy that her stomach hurt. She kept telling her mom, I have a stomach ache. And realizing it was lunchtime, her mommy said, look, Molly, your stomach will feel better after you put something in it. And sure enough, she followed her mom's counsel. And later that evening, her father came home from work and he said, Boy, I have a headache. And Molly piped up and said, Dad, you have a headache because your head is empty. It'll feel better once you put something into it. And sure enough, he got the message. Well, the fact is that it might be a child, it might be a friend, it might be someone else that'll say something that is cutting or hurting or difficult to hear. But God says in the home, he wants tenderness to be evidenced. He wants us in our relationships to be tender one toward another. And then not only through tenderness is compassion shown, but here's the critical element in every relationship. Verse 32, through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Now notice verse 32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Would you say that with me, please? Forgiving one another, even as God. Now, the key is the last part of that verse, because I meet a lot of wives who've said, I can't forgive my husband, or I won't forgive my husband. And husbands the same, and friends the same. Sometimes over the years, not often, but sometimes I've pastored maybe a couple people that get kind of sideways with one another. And we've learned in the ministry that sometimes you just have to give things to the Lord. Sometimes you'll not be treated exactly right. You're going to have experiences. I think it was a few weeks ago, someone sideswiped my wife's car in the parking lot, right here at church. Say, what'd you do about it? Nothing. You know what's more important to me than a few hundred bucks for paint? That family stays in church. That they know the love of Christ. You know, paint is one thing, but really having that relationship is another thing. There might be times when, you know, you felt your child got bit in the nursery or something wasn't just exactly right. Now, you can stand up for your rights. I mean, everybody else does, right? You can lawyer up over your child getting bit in the nursery, right? You can demand a meeting with pastoral staff to discuss the unfriendly usher. You know, whatever. You can do all kinds of stuff if you want to, or you can forgive. You can forgive. And forgiveness is a choice. Now, sometimes people say, well, he doesn't deserve forgiveness. She doesn't deserve forgiveness. Now, listen. The fact of the matter is, nobody deserves forgiveness. And notice the basis of forgiveness. It says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, theology 101. Is there anybody in this room audacious enough to say, I deserve God's love and forgiveness? Because if you think you deserve it, we need to have a little sidestep afterwards and talk that over, because the Bible says we're all sinners. No one deserves God's grace. But God in His grace and mercy forgave us. How many of you are thankful for that? Amen. So God says, since you got what you didn't deserve, and since I'm the Lord of your life, and since you have been bought with a price, here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn how to give what someone else doesn't deserve, because you got what you didn't deserve. And that, my friends, will solve 99% of the marital conflict that I deal with, and that I think many pastors deal with, and counselors, and that is simply the fact of unforgiveness and bitterness of heart. And if we'll come to the place of saying, as on the merit of Christ, I will forgive. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness will set your heart free from bitterness. Forgiveness will cause you to have liberty once again in your life. And as long as you remain angry, and as long as you think about the person that hurt you, then that person really has you held captive. And I'm telling you, my friend, it doesn't matter. You may have been mistreated, and it may have been a terrible situation, but the more you dwell on it, and the more you're firing emails off, and the more you're talking about it, and the more you're deliberating about it, the longer you let that go, and it's you letting it go, not the one that hurt you, the longer you're held captive by the very person that you're saying will never control you. And they're controlling you every single moment of every single day because you have chosen not to forgive. And so we must, through forgiveness, bind up our relationships and make them stronger. Spurgeon said, learn to write your hurts in the sand and carve your blessings in the stone. Learn to write your hurts in the sand, but carve your blessings in the stone. All right? We're talking about a godly friendship, and I want you to see very quickly the first three, and then we're going to give you the very most important thing about a godly friendship. First, a godly friendship is one that is based on character. Secondly, it is built through confidence and edification. Thirdly, it is bound together with biblical forgiveness and compassion. But let me say this, friend. The best relationships and friendships in life begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Christ in the middle of your friendship, you're missing the greatest element, the greatest relationship of all, and that is the relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that, verse 32 once again. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice that phrase, please, for Christ's sake. The only reason that God is still righteous in forgiving us is because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. And so for Christ's sake, based upon the merit of Christ, God has forgiven us. He imputes His righteousness unto us. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. W.A. Criswell often referred to this verse in his commentaries as the sweetest verse in the Bible, because it's a verse of forgiveness that is based on the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross for us. Now, think about this, if you would, and make sure that you know Christ yourself as your Savior, your friend, and your guide. And I want you to think of it. This matter of having Christ in your life. First of all, think of the basis of His forgiveness. The basis of His forgiveness. What is this forgiveness that Christ offers? It's one thing for someone else to forgive you, but God wants to forgive you based upon the merit of Jesus Christ. Now here's the basis of it. Number one, God knew our need. God knew what we needed. Yes, we needed friendship. Yes, we needed companionship. All of those needs God understands. But the fundamental need of every man, woman, boy, and girl was not a friend, it was a Savior. Okay? Now look at what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right? So all have come short of God's perfection. All of us today fall short of God's glory. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, something that is redeemed is something that has been purchased back. When I was a kid, you could take a pop bottle and you could take it to 7-Eleven and you could give them the pop bottle, and if it said on the bottom, redeemable for 5 cents, you'd give them the bottle, they'd give you a nickel. And that was great. And I'd get all the bottles I could get and go get another pop maybe, or get some double bubble gum or some sunflower seeds or something, and I'd take those bottles in and they'd give me a price for them. Well, God says that Jesus Christ shed His blood, and that we are redeemed. We are purchased back by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though we fall short of God's glory, because of what Jesus did, we can be redeemed and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so He knew that we were sinners and that we needed to be redeemed. And friend, when you get to that point in your life, then understanding that, yes, I need redemption, then you're ready to receive Christ as your Redeemer, as your Savior, and yes, as your friend. You see, this is why God sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 15:13 says it this way, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Thank God that Jesus Christ laid down His life for His friends. Listen, those Roman soldiers, they nailed the hands of Jesus to the cross, no doubt. His feet, they put the crown upon His brow, the blood came flowing down. One Roman soldier put a spear through His side until water and blood poured mingled out. Another put the vinegar on a sponge and placed it upon His mouth. But it was not the Roman soldiers that placed Jesus on the cross in reality. It was Jesus Christ Himself laying Himself down for us. He died voluntarily on that cross, and He gave His life. At any moment, He could have called a legion of angels and said, take me away. At any moment, He could have spoken the word, and all of those Roman soldiers would have lost their lives. They would have perished instantly. He was the Creator of the world. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He called the worlds into existence. He could have at any moment left that scene, but He stayed there because He knew our greatest need was forgiveness, and the price for forgiveness has always been the blood of the Lamb. And so He laid down His life for His friends. And that's why I say, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, you do not understand the greatest friendship that can ever be made possible and available. That is the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this friendship with Christ is based upon His forgiveness for our sin. And then notice the blessing of His forgiveness. When someone receives Christ as their Savior, they are restored to God. The one that was fallen short because of sin, the one who could never attain God on his own, now is always restored to God like the prodigal son who came back and graciously received the coat and the ring and the fatted calf. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so God says, I want to give to you a restorative relationship. Forgiveness is available for you. And by the way, my friend, forgiveness is available for anyone. Now, I've seen friendships that become fractured, and even when someone's trying to offer forgiveness, but this one will not receive it, and there's a separating of ways. I've seen that in this world, but I want you to hear me very carefully. There is no one on this planet that has gone too far for the grace of God. His grace is wonderful. His forgiveness is wonderful. His mercy is everlasting, and he can take your sin and he can separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. That's the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard the story of the soldier coming home from Vietnam. He came into San Francisco. He went to a payphone. He called his parents. He said, Mom, Dad, I'm home. And they were so thrilled that he was home. And he said, I am coming home. I'll be there soon. But he said, I do have one favor. He said, Mom and Dad, I have a friend with me. I'd like to bring him with me. Said he had a hard time in Vietnam. He lost an arm. He lost a leg. He's had some nerve damage. He's in a bad way, he said to his parents. And his parents said, well, you can bring him over. We'd be glad. Maybe have dinner with him. He said, Dad, he said, I don't want to just have dinner with him. I want him to live with us for a while. I want him to stay in our home. He's a dear friend to me, and I want him to stay with us. His parents began to hedge a bit. They said, you know, we'd love to meet him. We'd be glad to put him up for a little while, but, you know, someone like that's going to have a lot of needs. They're going to have some psychological needs, physical needs. Son, we're just not sure that we could do that. We're sorry to hear about it. Maybe we could help your friend find somewhere to live. Well, the son tried, but there was no urging them, and after a little while, the young man hung up the phone and he began living his life. The young man not only hung up the phone, but he never called his parents back. Weeks and months went by. Finally, a few years later, the San Francisco Police Department called the parents. Their son had passed away, and they said, we have his ID. We've traced him to your address. We'd like you to come and identify the body. And the parents did. They went to the morgue. And when they got to the morgue, they saw the face of their son. And then they saw his torso without an arm and without a leg. And they realized what they had said and what they had done. No doubt that young man died with a broken heart. I want you to know this morning, it doesn't matter what your malady. It doesn't matter what your sin. It doesn't matter what your past. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. There is a loving Savior who has forgiveness for you. He has a home for you. He welcomes you. He wants you to come and know the blessing of His forgiveness. And the Bible states it very clearly. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, the truth of the matter is all of us deserve to be separated from God for all of eternity. That's the deserved payment. That's the wage of sin. But God has a gift today, and that gift is by His grace, and it's not something you can buy, and you don't get it by joining the church, and you don't get it by doing good works, my friend. It is a gift after all, and it's the gift of God, and Jesus paid for it with His blood. And if you today would like to know what it means to have the forgiveness of your sin, yes, one day a home in heaven, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, the greatest friend of all, the one who laid down his life for his friends, then you must come today and by faith turn from yourself, your good works, all of your best thought out ideas and say, Lord Jesus, I trust you and you alone to be my Savior today. The Bible's very clear that when you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. You see, I don't have a lot to offer. I've got some disabilities. I've got some problems. I've got some past. Well, I've got news for you. Everybody has a past and everybody has problems, but Jesus Christ loves you and died on the cross so that you could know what it is to have the very best friend that this world and the world to come could ever offer.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Highway 1. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.